Don't hear much about Thomas Dolby anymore.
No.
You know, I knew him before he was famous and he changed his name. It used to be Thomas Scratch and Hiss.
What was that?
Thomas Dolby. Thomas Scratch and Hiss was his first name.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an English name, hyphenated.
This was his only hit, wasn't it?
That's it.
Science!
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. When you need windows, go to windowworldstlouis.com and find out about the deals they can do to put windows in your home. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, and Ian Geis here with me. And now News Director Colin Jeffrey sheds his News Director cape and puts on the tights of his superhero alter ego, Showbiz Boy. Hmm. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. Spending way too much on capes this year. That's my goal. Cut down on the amount I spend on
you
capes.
You know what? The idea of going with disposable capes may not have been a great idea.
No.
But we have a couple of movies to get to, but before we do that, I'd like to talk about the Oscar nominations that came out this week. And I was going to say disappointment, but it's actually, frankly, bitterness that even after my much-heralded role in the movie Mississippi Grind, not one nomination. Not even listed under supporting feature player.
Oh, man.
Nope. Maybe you'll be up for a technical award. They typically don't announce those.
It's all political.
Yeah, that's it. It is. Yeah. It is. The Weinsteins killed me again.
It'll be one of those people like Mario Lopez hosted the awards earlier this week, and here's a quick video about the winners.
Mario Lopez. I wish. Yeah. And now for best visual effects, Paul's bow tie that he's never ever worn ever before in his life and never will again. But there he is. You know, I actually was disappointed that the guy who I'm in that scene with in Mississippi Grind, who's actually the star of the movie, Ben Mendelsohn, along with Ryan Reynolds, I thought Ben Mendelsohn was phenomenal in that movie, also not nominated for an Academy Award.
Was that a clip-on bow tie, or was that...
No, that was...
A regular tied?
What was it? No, it was a clip-on.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't know how to tie a bow tie.
No,
I was trying to remember if the costume mistress would have tied it for me, but no, it was a... It was like one of those, if you ever rent a tuxedo.
Yeah, those strap that goes around your neck. Yeah,
exactly. Same kind of thing. And by the way, I hear from people all the time that they're seeing Mississippi Grind on pay-per-view and on demand and enjoying the movie.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Still a little bitter about that. Let's talk about the nominations, and let's start at the top here. Only 8 pictures nominated.
Which is odd. Because they can nominate up to 10.
Yes. So there are a couple that are left out, but first let's mention the ones that were nominated. The Big Short, Bridge of Spies, Brooklyn, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. 5 of those were on my Best Pictures of the Year list that we did at the end of December. Any surprises there?
I'm a little surprised that's in there.
Yeah.
The critics loved Brooklyn. I'm a little surprised it made it in.
I haven't seen that yet. Is it good?
It's a good movie, but I don't know that it's one of the best.
Okay.
I think they were just trying to fill out 8, in all honesty. I don't think they wanted to go with 5, and I don't really think it matters. I think this is like a 3-horse race.
Well, I can think of 4 others that should have been in there.
Inside Out, you and I agree with, should have been on this
list. Yeah, it is nominated for Best Animated Feature, but again, this is the, you know, this is the discrimination against cartoons.
Yes.
Let me just say right now, you know, animated films matter.
They do.
Yeah. Hashtag animated films matter.
Thank you.
All films matter.
All
films matter. All films matter.
All films matter. But I absolutely had that as my favorite movie of the year. But also, I'm disappointed. You know, probably what worked against Inside Out is not only it's an animated, but it's a comedy.
Yes.
And the Academy Awards hate comedies.
Except for The Big Short.
It's not a comedy.
And The Martian is a comedy.
No, it's not. The Golden Globes called it a comedy, but it's not.
Yeah.
And The Big Short is not a comedy
no,
either.
No, it's not.
You know what's a comedy that should have been on this list? Trainwreck.
Yes.
Amy Schumer's movie.
And it didn't get a nomination either for original screenplay, which I thought was an oversight.
Me too.
We'll get but
me too.
Yes.
But you could also put Trumbo on the list. Brian Cranston's in there for actor, but the movie didn't get there. And I would have put The Walk on there. Because I thought that movie about Philippe Petit that Robert Zemeckis did, it just didn't sell, right?
It did not sell, and that's an important thing to remember here. Room is on this list. the way that the Academy Awards work is they send out videos, they send out the DVDs to everyone who's in the Academy, and then they vote after having watched them. The
supposedly.
Supposedly.
You know, you know how many executives say, I don't have time to do this, and they hand it to their secretary?
Mm-hmm. And do you know
you
how
fill
many,
this out for me.
Do you know how many people, actors, all of them, don't watch things that they're uncomfortable with? There are companies out there that do surveys. How many people in the Academy have actually watched this? And the lowest on the entire list is Room, about 1 out of 4 Academy voters. So it has no shot to win.
Yeah.
Because only 1 out of 4 people watched it who got sent it. Yeah. And that is, they're hoping to fix that by going to all digital distribution where they can see, did you actually watch it? Because if you're going to be part of this, you should at least watch and vote.
Yeah. So what's the favorite here?
Now, I think after the Golden Globes, The Revenant is going to be the favorite. Oh. I think The Martian is high on that list. And I would ordinarily say Mad Max, but the Academy does not typically vote how the critics.
What about Spotlight?
I think it's... I really enjoyed Spotlight. I think it's a good movie.
It's a good movie, and it's an important movie.
It is. I just think everyone's in love with, you know, how The Revenant looks and how The Martian looks. These were very visually striking movies, both of them. And I think those are the heavy favorites.
But I will say this. Anybody who says, well, Spotlight was too serious. 12 Years a Slave won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Yeah.
So Spotlight can, too.
Oh, but yeah. I don't know that it's too serious at all. It's a decent category, but there's a lot of filler in there. They either need to cut it down. Never have I said, wow, there were 8 best movies this year. I've never been torn between 8 movies to figure out which one is the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think 8 is too many. It's just to sell more.
So you
Beatles.
Think it's Revenant, Martian, or Mad Max?
Yeah, those are my top 3. Mm-hmm. And I personally think I would pick Mad Max of all of them, but we disagree here.
I didn't see it.
Yes. But I will assume we disagree.
Okay. For best actor, I mentioned Bryan Cranston is up for Trumbo. Matt Damon for The Martian. He won the Golden Globe. Mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, Leo won it, didn't he?
They both won. Comedy and drama.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Leo's up for The Revenant. Michael Fassbender, overrated in Steve Jobs. And Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl. Nothing for Michael Keaton in Spotlight. Surprised me.
And he should not have been lead. This was a supporting cast, the way I saw it. To me, the lead in that movie actually was Mark Ruffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But he's nominated for supporting actor.
Yeah.
If you will allow me to digress here for a minute
sure.
on best actor.
Yes.
This is perhaps the most crowded category and has, in my opinion, the most snubs, sort of. The Academy did a horrible job with this category. First of all, they included Michael Fassbender, who has no business on this
None
list
whatsoever.
This year.
Just because you memorized a lot of words written by Aaron Sorkin does not make you the best actor.
No. Leonardo DiCaprio has no business on this list whatsoever this year. He grunts and cries through 80% of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be getting a nomination for 2 things. A body of work, and the fact that he filmed it in Alaska and it was tough. There was cold weather.
How much did he get paid for that?
A lot of money.
Okay.
A lot of money.
That makes up for the
And this goes...
let me tell you something. I've gone through a lot of crap in this industry. Nobody ever said, but we paid you a lot of money.
Yeah. That's never happened.
This goes back to this body of work idea. Michael Keaton won it for Birdman last year. He wasn't the best actor in Birdman. Edward Norton was. But
yes.
He won it like it was a good story.
Well, he was a lead character.
He was a lead character, but you can't win best actor if you're not the best actor in a movie. You just can't do it. I don't care how good you were. If you weren't the best in your movie, you're not the best leading actor.
Okay.
Leonardo DiCaprio should have won for other movies. Blood Diamond, The Aviator, Catch Me If You Can, The Departed.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those I'd have been fine if he won.
I agree.
He should not win for this movie. It would be saying this other work you've done that is better is not as good as this. And I'm tired of this.
But that's the way the Academy works sometimes. They say, oh, he hasn't won before. We'll give him an award for
except
this.
Except I'm going to give you a list of people who should have won by now and haven't. Edward Norton has yet to win an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Harris, Gary Oldman, Jake Gyllenhaal, Paul Giamatti.
Wow.
Those
Giamatti never won a supporting actor?
He was nominated for Sideways. That's it.
Wow.
These are actors who deserve, if we're going to go by that body of work, who have a better body of work.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this. Here's some overlooked actors. Idris Elba and Abraham Atta from Beasts of No Nation, which is on Netflix. Watch it, because it got no love whatsoever. And it is excellent.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite movies.
You've been pushing that for months.
Johnny Depp, who also has zero Academy Awards.
Not for Black Mass.
He should have been nominated.
No, he was terrible in that.
But if we're going by this whole body of work thing, nominate him, not Leonardo DiCaprio. Look back at Johnny Depp's earlier work and tell me he doesn't deserve an Academy Award for something along the way.
Okay.
O'Shea Jackson Jr., straight out of Compton, 100% deserved a nomination for it. And Michael B. Jordan in Creed.
Yeah.
You'll notice four of those five actors are black, people of color, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all equally deserving, or any of them more so than Michael Fassbender. And
incidentally, speaking of that, of the 20 nominations for Best Actor, Best Actress, Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, all white people.
Yes. And so that's why here are four black actors who did better than the majority of the people nominated.
And I would add Will Smith in Concussion.
Yeah, I didn't put him down, but yes.
You think Chris Rock might have something to say about that when he's the Academy Awards host this year?
Probably. Will Smith also, no Academy Awards. I mean, these are people, and so they're just gonna give it to Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm very frustrated by this because I'm about at a tipping point with the Academy Awards where I'm just too frustrated to watch them.
Well, you'll be too busy at the new stadium. For Best Actress, the nominees are Cate Blanchett in Carol, this year's most overrated movie, Brie Larson in Room, Jennifer Lawrence in Joy, Charlotte Rampling, never nominated before. She's in 45 Years, which I don't think has even come out in St. Louis yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to pronounce her name, Saoirse Ronan?
Saoirse, yes, it's close? Irish.
Okay. Yeah. And is it Brooklyn? Is that how that's pronounced?
Brooklyn, yes.
Okay.
It's also Irish.
Okay. So who's going to win there?
If Brie Larson doesn't win, I think it's horrible.
I agree.
Brie Larson, I finally sat down and watched. That's a tough watch, but man, oh man, is she good.
Well, when I reviewed that movie, it had not even opened yet, and you hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, this is the most psychologically devastating movie since Gone Girl.
Yeah.
And it will rip your guts out, but in the end, you'll walk out of there and go, wow, that was a story that I really wanted to see. And I wanted to know what was going to happen in the story of this woman who's trapped in an 11-by-11 room with her 5-year-old son being held hostage by some guy. And you don't know what's going to happen. And as I told everybody, don't watch the trailers. Don't read synopsis of this movie. Was I right that knowing what happened at the end?
It was great.
Made it better for you?
My concern is Jennifer Lawrence is going to win for another David O. Russell saying, no, she should not win.
Joy's not getting good reviews, is it?
No, it didn't, but it won awards.
Won awards.
And it shouldn't.
Well, I hope that Brie Larson wins there. I'm rooting for her.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actor, Christian Bale, who really should be the lead actor in The Big Short, but as you say, it's an ensemble movie, so okay, like Spotlight. Mark Ruffalo from Spotlight, Tom Hardy from The Revenant, Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies, and Sylvester Stallone from Creed. Now, I don't know if you heard this, but we actually have audio of Sylvester Stallone, who was asked, what did you think about the fact that you've been nominated for the essentially seventh time you've played this same character, Rocky Balboa. Sly?
Well, you know, I think it's a great thing. You know, it's been nominated so many times. I just want to thank my imaginary friend, Rocky Balboa.
Wow.
Sylvester Stallone talking about being nominated for Creed.
He should not win.
But he may.
He probably, it's another Michael Keaton. Oh, look at this.
What the hell are you talking about, Colin?
No, he should not win. I think Mark Ruffalo or Tom Hardy.
Interesting thing. I saw a tweet about this. So let me get this straight. White Rocky got nominated for a movie about Apollo's son?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Makes as much sense as anything this year. No, I'm just... Tom Hardy, The Revenant.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy actually did the acting. He had words to say. He couldn't just cry and grunt his way through it. And so he was good in The Revenant.
I'll tell you, the Christian Bale part in The Big Short, I didn't even know who Christian Bale was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 10 years, this guy has done so many good roles.
Yes.
Look at this. Look at American Hustle. Look at him in, was he the one in Dark Knight?
Yes, he was Batman.
Yeah, he was Batman in The Dark Knight.
He was in a movie called The Machinist. That you should go back and watch. He had to lose like 50 pounds for it.
Mm-hmm.
He plays this creepy, antisocial... I don't want to give anything. It's just a weird, creepy thriller you're going to feel weirded out by it, but he lost like 50 pounds to play.
See, when I think of him, I think of an actor. This guy is an actor. When you see him, he is a different character, and you believe him as a different character every time, as opposed to Sylvester Stallone, who every time you see him not playing Rocky, you think, hey, it's Rocky.
Yeah.
That's right. Even when I'm Rambo, I'm Rocky. It's Rambo Balboa.
Yeah, I actually want to credit Ian, because he pulled those clips yesterday of Sly, knowing what we were going to talk about today here on the show. Very nice job,
Thank
Ian. Best Supporting Actress, Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight, Rooney Mara in Carol, Rachel McAdams, part of the ensemble in Spotlight, Alicia Vikander in The Danish Girl, and Kate Winslet in Steve Jobs. She won the Golden Globe the other night, Kate Winslet.
And she was probably the only sort of good part, in my opinion, in Steve Jobs.
I agree.
None of them should win, I don't think. If anyone, Jennifer Jason Leigh, because if you saw Hateful Eight, she's unrecognizable and a villain, really good. And Charlize Theron should win for Mad Max, and she's not even in it.
Okay.
She was really the main character of that movie.
How about Best Director? You got Adam McKay for The Big Short, George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road, Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant, Lenny Abramson for Room, Tom McCarthy for Spotlight. Can we cross off Alejandro Iñárritu because he won last year for Birdman and they don't give it to him 2 years in a row?
I don't know. They seem to love him. George Miller, I think, is who should win, but Ridley Scott, Quentin Tarantino, and Ryan Coogler for Creed are all missing from this list.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen The Hateful Eight, but based on reviews, doesn't seem like one of Tarantino's best. But Ryan Coogler for Creed, getting all this attention, and Ridley Scott for The Martian, he made a great movie that has a lot of special effects, but is also a great human movie.
Yes, or F. Gary Gray for Straight Outta Compton. What, I don't understand why everyone is white this year that they nominate.
Oh, wait a second. Straight Outta Compton did get nominated for original screenplay, written by two white people.
The That's the ultimate. They should have just kept it all off for them to include that.
The blackest movie of the year. We only nominated the white people.
Quentin Tarantino was so strange at the Golden Globes.
Yes, he was. He's always strange.
I know he's always like strange, but he was just...
Because he went up there and accepted the nomination for Ennio Morricone, who won for Best Score.
Who I think will win again.
And who he claimed was the greatest composer of all time.
Yes.
A bit Mozart and Beethoven and Brahms and Bach. They suck compared to Ennio Morricone. Who, by the way, has done wonderful work. He did the music for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And, I mean, he's been around for 50 years, and he's fine. But the greatest composer of all time?
It's a bit much.
That's a little bit much. Is anything going to beat Inside Out for Best Animated Feature Film?
No, no. And I saw one of its competitors, Anomalisa, which is now out in St. Louis, and we'll talk about it here.
Okay, you also saw Shaun the Sheep.
Yes, and I really like it, but it has no chance.
Okay. Any of these other categories that you think there was a big snub?
Screenplay, I still think Hateful Eight should have gotten it, and Trainwreck are the two missing from original screenplay. But it's, I don't know. Whatever.
I can't believe that Ex Machina is on there and Trainwreck isn't. That's just absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wrong. Well, like I said, I can't wait to hear Chris Rock talking about...
It'll be fun. Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
...the all-white Academy Awards that he's the host of. And I'm still bitter about my being left off the list. We'll take a break here, and then we'll come back, and Colin's going to review two movies that are opening up today. And we got other showbiz stuff to get to as well here on the Big 550 KTRS. Wow, Ian was able to dig up some music by the greatest composer of all time.
Wow.
He wrote that wah, 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 wah.
I personally like Eye of the Tiger.
Don't you like Gonna Fly Now?
Yeah, I like that too.
By Bill Conti?
Yeah.
Who for a few years was conducting the Academy Awards Orchestra.
Really?
Yeah. Every year they go, and, you know, the host would say, and by the way, let's mention a conductor tonight. And I always thought, Bill Conti, known for exactly one song. But according to Quentin Tarantino, second greatest composer ever.
Yes. They actually still have the, conductor. They're just over in the Capitol Records building. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because they had to move him out of there because it's too big. So they're in Capitol Records building. And
yeah.
shoot over to them in a conference room.
I love it when they're accepting their award and they just keep talking and the music comes in. Mm-hmm. And then it's been a couple times when it's gotten louder.
Yeah. By the way, the bigger star you are, the better chance you have of being able to talk as long as you want.
Yeah.
If you're up there for visual effects,
yes.
That music starts 8 seconds in.
Yes.
I'd like to thank my wife.
The hook comes out from off stage. Just whoop.
They go right in. It's the greatest moment of your life. Know. You've never gotten public recognition for the work you've been doing, making miniatures and digital effects and all this stuff. You've been in small black rooms your entire life. Here you are. You're on a stage where the world can see what you've done. And 3 seconds in, get off! So let's talk about a couple of movies that opened today and are playing, well, at least through the weekend. I don't know how good they are. They may not last much longer than that because we are in the time of the year. I told Colin this. It's entirely possible that I will go through the entire month of January without seeing a single screening of a movie. Although there's one at the end of the month called The Finest Hours, which is a Coast Guard rescue movie. I may go see that just for a little adventure. But most of the stuff that comes out in January and February, because they put the quality stuff out in November and December, and they put the big blockbuster stuff out starting Memorial Day to Labor Day. These are the 2 months that usually get the leftovers, right?
Yes. Well, last year was an exception because American Sniper opened like New Year's Eve in 2 theaters and then wide release.
Right.
And so we got that in St. Louis in January.
Right.
That's not normal. And this first week reinforces the dump the garbage idea.
Okay. I knew that was the case because I know Rob Schneider is involved in one of them.
Yes. So I have 2 animated movies, believe it or not. One.
Hey, animated films matter. Hashtag animated films. Somebody's already picked it up on Twitter.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They are rated R and PG.
Thank you to Richard Wishon, who's started to... Paul, I agree. Animated films. Hashtag animated films matter. Go ahead.
So we'll start with the R-rated one. This is a Charlie Kaufman sort of... It has the look of stop-motion animation. It's called Anomalisa. And it is the story of a man who goes around and speaks on customer service. He's written a book, and now he delivers speeches on this topic. And he is in Cincinnati for a weekend, or I guess for one night, really, to deliver this speech. And he's staying at a hotel. And you're going, if you do go decide to see this, which maybe one person listening will, maybe one of you.
Okay.
It's very odd. David Thewlis, who I'm going to give you, you would never recognize him, but you'll recognize his voice. He's a character actor. Jennifer Jason Leigh, who you probably wouldn't recognize, but you know who she is. She was in Hateful Eight. They play sort of the male and female lead.
Mm-hmm.
Every other voice is supplied by Tom Noonan, who you also would recognize. He's a character actor.
Okay.
Every other voice, child, woman, man. Everything.
Okay.
And that is sort of an idea. This man is horribly depressed and can't find love in life anymore, and everything seems the same, and he's kind of lost in this.
Don't tell me. And while he's on this business trip, he meets a hooker with a heart of gold.
Not a hooker. He meets a woman who's there to see him speak, who has a different voice, and that's Jennifer Jason Leigh's character.
Okay.
And
is her name Anomalisa?
Her name is Lisa, and she learned...
And she's an animal?
She learned the word anomaly in one of his books, because she's not that bright and has to read his books with a dictionary. And so he nicknames her Anomalisa for Anomaly.
That is a great idea for a movie.
So this is Charlie Kaufman. This is Charlie Kaufman. And if you're not familiar with his work, his better work being John Malkovich, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Mm. You don't like him.
No, I do not.
And he did Adaptation from way back when.
Yeah, overrated.
I don't particularly like Adaptation. This movie is just 88 minutes of kind of, okay.
If this movie were not in stop-motion animation, used real live-action human beings, would anyone care?
It would actually probably be better, I think.
Really?
Because you'd get the added visual of everyone's face being exactly the same. I guess they sort of are, because they're all kind of claymation, but if it was Tom Noonan's face on everyone he ran into, but dresses, it would actually be perhaps more interesting.
Mm.
I don't know why he did this. It's Charlie Kaufman, so we just kind of say, oh, okay. He's kind of like Terrence Malick, and people just, I think they say, oh, yes, I got it. It was about the frame, not the picture in the frame. One of those type things. If you're at an art show.
In other words, the sort of thing that artsy fartsy critics might like, but the rest of us go, boring.
Yeah, and it sort of is boring. It's not bad. It's just kind of boring. You know where the story's going to go. It's interesting to see sort of a guy grapple with this mundane feeling stuck in a rut in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not particularly good.
All right. Zero
to 10? Exactly five. It's not offensive. It's not good. It's average.
Okay.
The other movie I saw, oh boy, we're going to have fun with this one. Norm of the North.
This is the one with Rob Schneider's voice?
With Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
And it was produced by Splash Entertainment. You've never heard of them because no. They do almost exclusively animated stuff for television. You know the kind of crummy-looking computer animation that you see on bad kids' TV shows, Ian?
Yes.
That's this company, and it looks like crummy made-for-TV animation.
Mm.
I went to see this with my wife and my 4-year-old daughter.
Okay.
My 4-year-old daughter watched the entire time and laughed once.
Mm. That's not good.
It's not good.
It is supposed to be a comedy.
Yes.
Okay.
It's definitely a comedy. Norm of the North centers around a polar bear who is voiced by Rob Schneider, and he notices that his Arctic home has a model home spring up on it. And he doesn't like this. He doesn't want them. Well, Norm has a special ability. He can speak, and humans can understand him. All the other animals speak, but they hear rawr and other animal sounds. So Norm sets out on a quest to become the most popular character from the Arctic, and at the height of his fame will speak out against this horrible idea of putting homes in the Arctic. That's the story. There you go. We've got the story. It is awful.
Wait, hold on just a second. Let's wait for everybody's reaction here.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Who's the developer?
You don't really care.
Is this a true story?
Mr. Green,
is based on a true story.
Okay. Mr. Green, played by Ken Jeong, who's a funny guy and is in this movie. The pay must have been good. This is very, very bad. It is horrible looking. It is unfunny. And then there are jokes in there that are entirely too mature. Fart and poop and pee jokes. And
all
then
right.
Just entirely too mature for the audience they're going for with this.
So this is aimed for young kids, but misses
yes.
by a mile.
And then I am furious. My wife is. I think a lot of parents. There's a joke I'm going to tell you about in the most circuitous way I can, because all the parents were kind of like, well, did they really just do this?
Is something we can't describe on the radio?
Well, we can't describe because there may be kids listening.
Okay.
And we can't describe it because it goes about questioning the authenticity of certain fictional characters they assert may be fictional surrounding holidays.
Okay.
They do this
mm-hmm.
in the movie that is geared towards kids
mm-hmm.
who are young enough that this could shatter them.
Did your little daughter see this?
She did. She didn't pick up on it, thankfully, because we definitely held our breath and looked over and were like, oh, thank you for possibly shattering childhood for all these kids.
Prematurely.
Oh, yes. This all has to do with the guy that wears red.
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
Not. No.
Oh.
Another character. Another bringer of joy. Happy. He's a happy. We're not going to discuss this anymore because I'm uncomfortable with it.
Okay. I can gather that.
Yes. I'm super. But they do this. It's just.
He's vibrating over there.
I'm very uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
It's just
irresponsible.
It
is what you're saying.
The only redeeming quality for it is that it has this message of kind of preserve nature, kids, which I'm not against teaching kids about.
Fine, let them watch the National Geographic Channel. Don't go see a Rob Schneider movie.
Well, that is the only redeeming feature of this, and that is the only thing that keeps it from getting a zero. This is a 1 out of 10 and
wow.
an early runner for worst movie
wow.
of the year. This is very bad.
Okay.
Yes. Do not go see this movie.
Norm of the North is the movie
you're
talking about.
It is 88 minutes. I looked down 20 minutes into it. It felt like 3 hours. This was so very bad.
Now, let me ask the same question about this. I asked about Annalisa. If it were not animated, if this were real live-action actors, would it be better?
I think they would have euthanized the polar bear rather than put it through this movie.
Wow.
It's that bad. It is atrocious.
Wow.
But my daughter was engaged for 90 minutes, so I
what
mean,
did she laugh out loud at? Do you remember?
Someone fell.
Oh.
like in a comical way.
Oh, okay.
It was like a pratfall.
Wacky slapstick.
There was a pratfall, okay. And that's sort of what she laughed at.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you seen the trailer for a movie that's coming out, I think, in February or March, called Elvis and Nixon?
Yes, yes, I did watch it.
Have you guys seen this yet?
No.
No. Elvis and Nixon.
You know, the most requested photo from our national archives is not the picture of John Boy Kennedy saluting his dad when JFK was killed. It's not the picture of Nixon getting on the helicopter and giving the V for victory thing. It's not a picture of any other president or any other first lady. It is a picture of Richard Nixon in the Oval Office shaking hands with Elvis Presley. And there's a true story behind this about Elvis going there and having this conversation with the president in which he wanted to be an undercover DEA agent.
Oh, yeah.
And would provide his own badges and guns. That's a true story, right?
I know. I remember that.
Well, yeah. This movie is about that, but it looks like they've turned it into a wacky comedy with Michael Shannon playing Elvis and Kevin Spacey playing Richard Nixon. Now, what's interesting about this is they made this for Amazon, right?
Amazon bought it. It was made, premiered at Cannes Film Festival, and Amazon got in essentially a bidding war with themselves and paid millions of dollars.
So this won't be in movie theaters. This will only be available to Amazon Prime viewers?
We can hope. We can hope it's not in movie theaters.
Well, you're saying that like you're not looking forward to it. I want to see the movie after seeing the trailer.
I do not at all, because I think Michael Shannon may be the least convincing Elvis Presley.
But it doesn't matter. It's a farce.
I love him as an actor. I get that. I'm not looking. You sent this to me with the title WTF in the subject.
Yes, I did.
And it was just, I looked at it and I'm like, oh, this could be funny, but it felt too campy. Like it was in on the joke.
Did you ever see a movie from 1999 called Dick?
Yes.
With Dan Hedaya.
Yes.
Who was Carlo Tortelli's husband. What was his name? On Cheers.
I don't remember.
Mr. Tortelli. He played Richard Nixon.
Yes.
And he was completely over the top in the role. The movie, by the way, Dick, is about two teenagers played by Kirsten Dunst, who looked fantastic at the Golden Globes last week. Did you see that dress she was wearing?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Trust me when I tell you, Google image Kirsten Dunst, Golden Globes. She and Michelle Williams are two interns who get hired at the White House right around the time of Watergate, and they keep discovering things that are going on in the White House related to Watergate, but they don't understand anything that's going on around them. And now all the adults are trying to cover it all up from them. It's a complete satire. Mm-hmm. It's really funny, and they're good in it. And Dan Hedaya was kind of over the top. That's exactly what I expect Michael Shannon and Kevin Spacey to be in this movie, Elvis and Nixon.
I think we have a clip from that movie.
We do.
Michael Shannon. You ain't nothing but a hound dog there. Mr. Nixon?
Oh my God.
That was the day that Elvis brought a 32-pack to the White House.
Yeah. Handy 48-pack. Slamming them down in the Oval Office. I'm not a crook either. No. Yeah. You're not a crook. I'm not a crook. How would it be a deal?
You know, actually, we can do a scene from the movie because I do my 2-second Richard Nixon impression.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't do long impressions like you do.
Yeah,
I'm not as good at it as you are, but I do a 2-second Richard Nixon impression, and then you can go into Michael Shannon.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right. Go ahead. Good to see you.
That's the whole thing.
Good to see you, Richard.
That's the whole movie.
That's all I got for my next one. That's it. By the way, that was voted best imitation of a former president done today on this show.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's coming out on Amazon sometime in the next
April. April, I think it's tax day. They're being cute with the release date. I, no joke, think it's tax day.
Okay.
And the other movie that's coming out, 13 Hours, The True Story of the SEALs at Benghazi. It's got a subtitle, something like that.
Yeah.
This is a Michael Bay produced.
The movie we hope will derail Hillary Clinton.
That's the subtitle of the movie. Yes, there you go. Yeah. And yeah, so that comes out. 30,000 people piled into Dallas Stadium last night to watch it on the Jumbotron,
mm-hmm.
because that's the optimal way to watch a movie.
Good grief.
By the way, one other thing about Elvis and Nixon, Kevin Spacey playing a president in this, for Amazon. He also plays the president in House of Cards for Netflix. I believe that's the first time somebody's played the president for two rival...
Spoiler alert.
streaming services.
Yes.
What else did I want to mention here? Oh, a couple of days ago when I was doing Martin's show, I interviewed Brian Koppelman, who is the showrunner of this new show, Billions. It debuts Sunday night on Showtime. And it stars Paul Giamatti, who we were talking about earlier, as a U.S. attorney who's going after a hedge fund manager played by Damian Lewis. Damian Lewis, you may have seen in Homeland if you're a Showtime subscriber. Really, really good actor, British actor, who's really good at doing the American accent. When you watch this movie, you won't think, oh, this guy's a Brit. And I was thinking about non-Americans being so much better at doing American accents than Americans are at doing English accents. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about somebody doing a French accent or a Russian accent or a Greek accent or something like that. So I made a list here. Damian Lewis, he's British, great as an American. Hugh Laurie, how many seasons was he House?
Oh my goodness, on TV? Yes. I didn't even know he was British.
Yeah. Cate Blanchett, maybe the best of them. Mm-hmm. She's Australian, but plays Americans beautifully. Christian Bale. I didn't know until I researched this today. Christian Bale is English.
Yes.
And you'd never
know.
No, you'd never know from watching him. Toni Collette, Colin Farrell, who's Irish, Daniel Day-Lewis has done Americans very well.
He did Lincoln. He didn't just do America, That's Lincoln. Right.
Our most iconic president. Isla Fisher, Idris Elba, Kate Winslet, who we were just talking about, who was nominated for Steve Jobs, Alan Cumming from The Good Wife, Nicole Kidman, she's played Americans a couple times, Heath Ledger.
Yes.
Heath Ledger was Australian. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. Did you say Russell Crowe?
No, I didn't.
Russell Crowe.
But he could be on the list, too. And, of course, if you go the other way, Americans doing English accents, not that long a list.
Mm-mm. No.
Of course, you got to include Meryl Streep, who's done pretty much every accent of every country in the United Nations at some point, brilliantly. Robert Downey Jr., who was Chaplin and Sherlock Holmes, did a good job with those. Renee Zellweger was Bridget Jones. Mike Myers as Austin Powers.
Yes, I find that all the Americans do a Cockney accent, though. They don't do, like, British. They do, like, Cockney.
Well, I don't know. Sherlock Holmes wasn't really Cockney.
No, yeah, I guess not. But
that's the entire list that I can
that's
come
it.
Up with.
That's all of them.
The list of people doing Americans, much bigger than the list of Americans doing the other way around.
Yes.
All right, Colin's got to get in the newsroom so we can have some headlines here at the top of the hour. Also, next hour, we'll have the Harris Challenge and Mike Evans and Knuckleheads in the News. You can follow me at Paul Harris Show. Colin, are you on Twitter? Is it at Colin Jeff with one F if you want to follow him? And also, you can email us anytime and catch us on the website, ktrs.com.